Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week, all week, from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Joining me now in the studio, Dave Fenske of Fenske Media. Fenske Media began as a general commercial printer in 1957. In the 60 or so years since, it has grown into one of the most advanced digital multi-channel marketing and print providers in the world. And Dave is with me in the studio. Thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for the invite, Lori.
And I was able to come up and tour this facility this morning, so thank you for that as well, because it's one of those things that it's worth checking out in person.
Well, as they say, a picture's worth a thousand words, and a tour is even worth more. So thanks for taking time to join me.
This is a family business. Take me back to when you were a kid and your dad was operating this place. What did it look like then?
Well, looked like an old newspaper place that you'd set type with hot lead called linotype machines, and you had slow-moving printing presses that you had to take multiple passes through, and you couldn't add information to any sheets of paper, so everybody got the same message, much like a Gutenberg day.
And as a little kid, do you remember, being there, hearing your dad talk about, tough times or growth or... what kind of conversations did you have around the kitchen table?
Starting a business in South Dakota was always a rough proposition, but the breaking point or his turning point, I guess, was when the missile build-out was coming in the Black Hills or up here at Ellsworth, and was able to secure a contract to make all the blueprints for building all the missile sites.
Wow. And now it has come so far to so much more than it was. Let's talk, I think, so people can really understand what it is that you're doing. Let's sort of talk about how Fenske has sort of redefined this customer, the relevance of a customer experience, and start with this sort of specific story of an example so people can get their minds around this.
Well, information is really the currency of the 21st century. And to go ahead and use information to its fullest, we've adopted our business systems using engineering plus art. And the engineering factor is that we're running digital high-speed inkjet printing presses. Inkjet is a drop of ink is this one-tenth of a micron, and that consists of 96% water and 4% pigment. And we're processing those at 56 billion, with a B, drops of ink per second on this press, as we run paper through at 1,000 feet a minute. Hmm. And so on a 9-hour shift at Fenske Media, we're typically able to personalize every micron or every drop of ink to that mailbox, to that household, using the data we understand about that residence. And so in a 9-hour shift, we're printing enough paper that would go from the Wyoming border all the way across I-90 to the Minnesota border every 9 hours.
And when you say, it's individualized to each person's mailbox, you mean that literally, not figuratively. Each mailing is individualized for the person who lives there. Based on what?
Well, it's data driven, and as part of and that's the art of it. And so, we're connected to the databases of our customers. So either a bank, insurance company, grocery store, we know who bought what and how much they bought and when they bought. And using those dots of information, we're able to connect those dots and create patterns based upon the household activity, and then model through some analytic tools that we have, or an algorithm, to go ahead and score those things based upon the household value to that particular customer at the moment. For instance, we're running a promotion every month of direct mail for a grocery chain in the Midwest out of Michigan, Ohio area. They have approximately 10 million customers that shop with them every day. And out of those 10 million, they collect the store data for each at their point of sale. So when you scan each item at the grocery store to check out, they're collecting that data. So they know, for instance, if you like Coke or Pepsi, they'll go ahead and follow your Coke. If they like, that you have a cat or a dog, they'll understand that you're buying the particular pet food for that particular animal. If you put that data together, you also look at the customer value. How often do I shop? And how frequent can I stimulate more trips to the store? And on top of that, what are my items, and are they significantly profitable to my operation, or is it a margin, or am I trying to acquire a new customer? And so we take on a monthly basis a subset of those 10 million customers and look at 2 million customers. And out of those 2 million customers, we look at a catalog of 1,250 products for that particular month. And in this case, I'm talking about the month of February, which would be the promotion for St. Patrick's Day that's coming up. So which products can we make in the mix according to what they buy? And what offer can we get depending on what they are? If they've been in the store recently and shopped, or if they haven't been with us for a while, and how do we mix those offers combined with the products and deliver it to that household level specifically? So you can see it gets kind of complicated. So I've got 2 million customers times 1,250 products times 4 different offers, and you run all those permutations together and make every single piece of mail that goes out individual to that mailbox.
Right. So it's very complicated on your end, but on my end as a consumer, it's very simple because I open up my mailbox and instead of saying, "Dear resident, here's your weekly grocery flyer," it's, "Dear Lori," and there's a Coke coupon because they think I like Coke instead of, or they know that I'm more, which one I'm more likely to buy, which brand.
Yeah.
And so for me, it becomes very simple and, as you said, relevant. Yeah.
And that's the secret. The relevance to the moment is, why spend all this effort and money to communicate if you're not going to go ahead and understand the consumer on the other end? So the data isn't, we're not being obtrusive with the data. We're trying to be benefit to every consumer. If I can go ahead and save you money in a shopping cart, if I can offer you a life insurance policy that'll protect your life savings should a moment occur and that you need insurance coverage, those particular products and using data the correct way really is the benefit to the consumer in the long run.
Right. So here's one of, and here's an example. I like to buy books, I think. It's no secret. Shop at Barnes & Noble in Sioux Falls often, and they will send out, you know, the coupons, and there's always a coupon for cheesecake. And I have never bought a cheesecake in my life. So you go through the, you know, sort of the generic coupon mailer that's, here are our spring coupons. And you, you know, you tear off the one that you want, which is the 20% off one. And then you ditch the tea coupon and the cheesecake coupon and the chocolate coupon because that's just not what you're interested in. So if they were going through Fenske Media, which I'm assuming they're not, it would be specific to, it would be, here's a magazine, here's a fiction book, here's, a, you know, here are coupons for things that I actually would want to put the whole flyer in my bag.
Really. Yes, and it might be lifestyle specific too. It's a, maybe it's more about quilting and RVs or something like that. More in globally circling your interests.
Yeah. So for a consumer, the value of this is you're saving me time because I'm not frustrated by the junk mail. I'm looking for this flyer. Then if this is my grocery store, I'm going to recognize it every month. I'm going to use it and save money.
And I think that gets back to the customer journey. And, the frustration that most of us have right now, I think, is between an analog digital model. And I mean they have existing business rules that go back to old times, procedures. And we have a digital customer that's always on. I have a phone that I can surf the web. I can call somebody. I can research the article. I can do social media to get referrals. I have all these channels to go ahead and communicate. So making my mailbox more relevant and making that experience more relevant is closer is going to reduce that frustration and improve that customer experience with the company.
Is there still power in the direct mail piece in a digital world?
Print always has a power. Print has a power, number one, to initiate action because of the mailbox. Mm-hmm. And it has specific power to tailored segments. The seniors market is a great mail user. It's great benefit to it. Millennials are coming around at the same time, too. So it has different connecting points to different targets as long as the information within it is relevant.
Right. How do you connect with that next generation of millennials who, maybe aren't going to live in one spot very long or aren't going to be as attached to their mailboxes, say, you know, baby boomers are right now?
Well, our trend is we have a division called Fenske XM, which stands for Fenske Cross Media. And what we're doing is connecting print to digital. So I have some customers across the nation, of which 98% of everything we do is outside the state of South Dakota. And it's coast to coast. And so for those customers, some people are involved in print, and now we connect digital information to print and make those each piece variable to the mailbox or connected to that mailbox. And if we're using that, then we connect them to the online experience or the digital world. And the online experience then gives them the opportunity to avoid the sales force, the nasty calls. Can I go ahead and call you at 2:00 in the afternoon on Sunday so we can talk about your insurance policy? We can get around that by allowing the customer to have their own power to go ahead and transact under their own terms.
Right. And these are kids who want to buy a mortgage on their phone.
There's seniors too. We're selling RV insurance to seniors, and 87% of everybody that interacts with a piece of mail is using a mobile device.
Really?
At age 65 or over. So prejudging the age group and the way they want to interact is dangerous, and so right. we allow them multiple channels to go ahead and pick and choose by their efforts.
98% outside the state of South Dakota. That's your dad began with a local operation, right?
Right.
How do you build an international business? What would you tell a small business owner in South Dakota now about the potential for reaching outside the state borders?
Well, South Dakota offers us many things that few states do. Number one, our business law. Laws are incredible. The no business income tax, no corporate inventory tax is huge. So the cost factors, the available workforce and the skills they bring to us as locals are incredible. And so we have a wonderfully trained workforce here. So you've really conquered two of the three problems. The other one is just business growth as you reach out and try to go ahead and grow your own business through your hard efforts.
Right. So we hear a lot about workforce development and sort of the workforce shortage, and that's not been your experience. How come? What's the difference there?
I think the effort of young workers these days are smart, and they're looking to be challenged. And so when you bring them in, you can't expect them to go ahead and be pigeonholed. You have to give them a progressive path to that they know they're going to learn new skill sets and be adaptive and have an opportunity to grow within themselves. Mm.
Do you see this city, Rapid City, really expanding its small business opportunities? Do you see it as, a visitor industry-driven place? Do you see the diversification of that coming ahead for the city?
I hope so. As I said, we're not that heavily engaged on a local basis, so I'm not right. connected to that part of the community, but I very much hope so that those efforts are in place.
Makes a difference. Talk a little bit about the facility itself. When I was out there this morning, solar power, largest post office in the state, some of those sort of quirky things that people don't know about Fenske.
That's a tough, decision, but I can say that our green efforts are unparalleled in the business. The solar power panels contribute about 20% to 25% on a nice sunny day to our overall operating electricity. We are wired to the grid. We're part of the co-op, and so we give back that solar power on the weekends to the grid free of charge. All of our scrap is recycled and sent down to Kansas for turned into tissue paper. As I said, we're operating on an inkjet basis, so 96% of everything due is a water base, so we have no solvents or anything that's being disposed of locally or need to be disposed of. And so we have a really low impact on any landfill or any efforts in the air.
And why is that important to you? Is that intentional, or is that just sort of how the business has developed?
I think it was is just trying a responsibility to the beautiful environment that we do live in.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the mail comes directly from the site. You don't have to. So there's a pretty big post office there. That I can't drop off my letter to my grandma in there, but
not yet. No, we operate every night. We dispatch at least 2 to 4 trucks that head across. So through we have a great relationship with the United States Postal Service, and our local post office has been very friendly in their relationship too.
Yeah, what's next for Fenske? When you think about the next generation as a family owned business, how do you make decisions now that ensure that this business thrives long after you're gone?
Well, I think it's to keep pushing the envelope. And so as that envelope of mail connects with the consumer, we really hope and we see the future of that data flowing into the online side. And so we're creating a new service we call IVX, Interactive Video Experience, that's allowing a two-way relevant conversation or interactive conversation between customers and a video session. So if I ask you a question and you give me an answer, I'm going to take a video and adjust that experience based upon that answer, come back with another question via video, you answer it, and I'll change the situation again until we get down to a moment that you're ready to transact. The interesting part that we're finding out is that the limbic portion of the human brain, the frontal cortex there, is really the power of the brain that's responsible for all emotion and trust and loyalty. And that's what we're using video for, is to convey that message that mail is trying to do, so that we can go ahead and help our customers shorten that life cycle of sales and generate more sales opportunities for them via this emotional experience.
So give me an example. Take me into a video experience like that for a customer, and how does it benefit me?
Let's say you want to get a new credit card, and you're looking for different, comparing the other competitors. And so if you dial into our video experience, we would be personalized, number one. So we'd say, welcome, Lori. What's your choice of this? And we would present via video four choices. Are you after points? Are you after award travel? Are you after low interest rates? What are you trying to refinance an existing amount? You could pick and choose that. And so let's say you want, at this time, I'm after a low interest rate on a credit card. Fine, then we run you through a game situation using the slider. You can go ahead and predict what your interest rate is on the card and say, no, we're less than that, and this is as much money you could save by using this card. So we really kind of tease it through gamification and allowing that interactivity to go ahead and kind of create a fun experience out of a consumer moment.
Interesting. Other things that you think people need to understand about sort of the business landscape right now? That's important to communicate today?
I think that most people have a fear of data these days, yeah. And we're very concerned as an industry, as a print industry as a whole nationwide, is that we're all joining forces together to work on this data privacy issue. Mm. We don't want Congress to go ahead and get nervous about the opportunities to use data for malicious means. And so hacking and all these other things, they have a great fear for us, and we don't want to see that happen. And we, number one, as an industry, don't want to be accused of any malicious behavior.
Right. So are there ethical conversations about what ongoing about what is the right thing to do with data and what's not?
Well, I think the number one is it has to start at the place of use. And so we're doing as best we can for IT protection procedures and storage and cloud computing and that to protect consumer data as well as health data in all steps.
Mm. Dave Fenske with Fenske Media, thank you so much for the tour this morning, and thank you for stopping by today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.